The principles of prayer, and that's the last time I preached on verses 5 through 8 in this passage. And he gave some principles for prayer. And in verse 9, he says, after this manner, therefore pray ye. And in verse 9, Jesus says, pray after this manner, or pray in this fashion. He does not say, pray these words. And remember, part of what he warned us about in these principles is vain repetitions. In verse 7, he says, when you pray, don't use vain repetitions. Now, he didn't say, don't use repetitions. Okay? Now, you know, I was thinking about it. You know, when we sing praise songs, a lot of times there's a lot of repeating. But that doesn't mean it's a vain repetition. Think about it. You know, when we did Revelation series a few months ago, we were in the throne room of God. And there's these seraphims constantly going around God going, holy, holy, holy. And it's going on. It's a repetition like 24/7, 365, forever. He's got these beings that he created specifically just to call out holy, holy, holy. But it's not a vain repetition. These beings are doing this sincerely. They're doing it. And that's the difference between a repetition and a vain repetition. Because vain means empty. It's just empty. And what's interesting is the Lord's Prayer, as we call it, it's been so repeated. I mean, I probably could have just not put the verses up there when I read them, and y'all would have just, you know, known it, right? In the King James, because everybody, you know, there's certain passages in the Bible that there's a lot of versions out there, but when you come to certain ones, everybody does King James, because that's what you heard it so many times. But what makes it a vain repetition is when you're not even thinking about it. You're just reciting it. And Jesus warned us against this, and unfortunately, this passage, which is an awesome passage, has been mindlessly repeated, and it's turned into, it's not even praying a prayer, it's just reciting words. And we're not even thinking about what we're saying. We're not even pondering it. You know, it's like some of the songs we sing. You know, the one we just sang, you know, you are the potter, I am the clay. But how many times do we sing that, and you know, and it's beautiful, and we agree, you know, he's the potter, we're the clay. But how many times is the clay trying to tell the potter what to do? In our prayers. You know, we're not saying mold me, make me. We're saying I want to be this, and Lord, help me get there. And you know what? That's an empty prayer. But we sing these songs, many songs, and we're so familiar with them, we're not even thinking about what we're saying. And we get into habit rather than relationship. And prayer is about relationship, folks. And you see in your outline there, hopefully y'all have one, and came in your bulletin, you see every one of these is talking about the Father. It's the Father's something. Father, not God. But Father. Father meaning relationship. God, Jesus is pointing us to the Father as our Father and our God, of course. But Father is the relationship aspect of God. He loves us. He calls us His children. This speaks of relationship. And so we need to understand this when we go through this passage. This whole passage is pointing to the Father. It's really not about us. It's about our dependence on the Father. And so I think it's great, as I said earlier, that we have this passage right before we kind of re-kickstart the prayer meeting. Because the prayer meeting needs to be about relationship. It needs to be about power, the power that is in prayer. And we're going to see this here today. So he says in verse 9, after this manner, therefore. Now, and what's therefore? It's referring to before. He's saying, don't stand out there like the hypocrites and pray so people will think you're all that. Okay, that's my version. Don't do vain repetitions. Don't just pray for the sake of hearing yourself pray. You know, just over and over again, mindlessly doing it. And he says, after this manner, therefore, this is how you pray. This is how you pray. Now, last week, or 2 weeks ago, when I was last here, I taught the principles of prayer, which was those verses 5 through 8. Now, this is the pattern for prayer. Jesus has given us a pattern. Okay? It's not the prayer. It's a pattern. It's a guide. It's to help us understand how we can connect with the Father. Because that's what prayer is about, folks. It's about connecting with the Father. It's about communicating with the Father. And guess what? The Father communicating with you. With me. We got to have that. We got to have that connection back and forth. And that's what this is about. And so we see in verse 9, the rest of it, we see the Father's person. Jesus starts off saying, pay attention to the Father, who He is. Look what it says. So He says, after this manner, therefore, pray you this. Pray this. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. You know, He's opening up the prayer, the pattern, saying, focus on the Father's person, who He is. God is our Father, a name that implies what? Relationships, resources, responsibilities. You know, we all, you know, are familiar with Father. Hopefully you all had a father or have a father. You know, and I know a lot of us, maybe we grew up in a fatherless home, but there was probably, hopefully, someone that was a father figure. And maybe it was just your mom that had to be mom and dad. But what did you look to them for? Relationship, resources. They had a responsibility. You know, many times, you know, I look back, you know, I thought of my father as God in a sense, not really using that terminology, but I depended on him for everything. You know, he provided my food, my clothing, my shelter. He provided all these things. When I got in trouble, you know, hopefully he would help me. Although he did say to me one time, don't ever waste your dime if you're in jail. You know, don't call me. Call someone that'll come down, because if you did something to get in jail, you're going to have to deal with it yourself. But you know, we call on our Father for help, you know, and so it's about that. It's a name that implies relationship. You know, notice Jesus didn't say God. He didn't say call out to God. He said call out to your Father. Talk to Him as you would a loving father. Now, maybe you didn't have a loving father. I understand that, but God is. Okay? So that's how you can approach Him as a loving Father. And He says, our Father which art in heaven. In heaven. We got to remember that the Father's home is our home. You know, if you've accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, your home's in heaven. Your country is in heaven. Your citizenship is in heaven. Oh, you're not living there right now, but that is your home. And one day, you'll be there. You'll be there. Our Father, which is in heaven. His home is our home. Boy, what a blip. Just ponder that for a while. That's our home. This is temporary, folks. You know, this world, it's getting worse by the minute, it seems like. But it's still temporary. You've heard me say this many times over the years. It's temporary. Focus on the eternal. Deal with the temporary. We have to. We live here. But focus on the eternal. Don't let the temporary ruin your relationship with the eternal or ruin your focus on it. We got to remember that. Look at this. This is so cool right here. This is Genesis. You've got the reference. Genesis 12, 7 through 9. Okay, and it says, the Lord appeared to Abram and said, unto your seed will I give this land. Okay, so The Lord appeared to Abram and made a promise to him. And you know what? The day you got saved, the Lord appeared to you and he made a promise to you. You're going to live forever. Okay? You're going to be with me forever. I'm forgiving you all your sins. Okay? I'm going to enter into relationship with you. I'm adopting you into my family. All these things. You know, the Lord appeared to Abram. The Lord appeared to you. He made some promises. Okay? And he says this, and there built Abraham an altar to the Lord, who appeared to him. And he moved to a mountain, which was on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent. So he moved to a mountain. Okay, he was east of Bethel, which means having Bethel on the west. Now this is important. You know, some of these verses, you read them, you're like, okay, you know, Bethel's on the west. High, H-A-I, I just pronounce it high. I don't know how it really is pronounced, but high's on the east. And we just read that and go, okay, high's on the east, Bethel's on the west. And it says, there he built an altar to the Lord, and he called upon the name of the Lord. Now, here's the thing. The east, high's on the east. What happens in the east? The sunrise. Bethel's on the west. What happens in the west? The sunset. Okay? You got the beginning of your life, you got the end of your life. The sunrise, the sunset. Abraham's in the middle, and he's calling on the name of the Lord. The name High, it means heap of ruins. And you know, before you had the Lord, you were a heap of ruins. So was I. We were lost. We were on our way to hell. And we were a mess, whether we thought so or not. We were a heap of ruins. Bethel, you know what Bethel means? House of God. Isn't that cool? Isn't that cool? You know, our life was a heap of ruins. That's the sunrise. That's when you're born. And you know what? You're a sinner the day you're born. You say, well, that's awfully harsh. Well, you ever taken care of a baby? Are they not the most selfish creatures on earth? Change my diaper. Feed me. You know, I didn't get my way. I'm not happy. They're the most selfish creatures on earth. And what do? We spend most of the first several years teaching them to share. You got to share. You know, you got to love your brother or your sister. Don't beat them up, you know. It's true. You're laughing because you know it's true. And you're born, you're a born wreck. But somewhere along the way, God appears to you. And he appears to every person, just not every person responds. Because no one has an excuse, the Bible says. And hopefully you accept Christ your Lord and Savior, and now you got the house of God on the horizon. And one day you'll be there. You understand that? You will be there because of what God did. And then the end of the thing, it says he sojourned, going on still towards the south. Because you know what? From then on, you know, once you're saved, you're headed towards the sunset, and everything else that's left in your life, you're sojourning. You know, you're journeying around in this life, hopefully in God's will. But as we study Abraham, you know, sometimes he was in God's will, sometimes he made decisions that weren't God's will, just like we do. But God still directed him all the way. And you know, God does that for us too. Even when we mess up, he's still drawing us to himself. Still trying to move us in the right direction. And some of us are more stubborn than others. And he has to get a little tougher sometimes. But bottom line, he loves us. He wants us to please him. And he works in our lives to bring us back where he wants us to be. The Father's person. Hallowed be thy name. Our Father. Our relationship in heaven, our home away from home. Hallowed be thy name. Yes, he is our daddy. That word father, Abba, daddy, You know, it's an intimate term. It's a term of closeness. Yet, he says, hallowed be your name. Yes, he is our daddy, but he's still God. And he deserves our respect, and he deserves our reverence. And rightfully so, we should be in awe of him. He truly is an awesome God. And you know, sometimes I think we get a little casual with God. Yes, he's our dad. I remember one time one of my boys called me dude. And it wasn't me. You know, Jason's back there. No, it wasn't him. Okay? It wasn't him. But I went into the bedroom and one of my boys was there and there was a bunch of friends in there and I did a lot of things with my boys. I played a lot of ball with them and we did a lot of things, you know, being a friend as well as a dad trying to. And I went in there and he was telling me stuff and his buddies were there and he says, dude. And I just stopped. I didn't even say anything. I just stopped. And he knew it. You know, he knew he crossed the line. You know, and he just went, dad. You know, real quick he corrected himself. And that's the danger, you know, as a father, when you get involved with your kids as you should and have fun with them and play with them and do things with them, you have to be careful to keep the respect that you are due as the father. And sometimes that's hard for us to do, but God, you know, with God we can get so casual with him, we kind of forget he's God. Yes, he's a loving father, but he's also a holy God. And sometimes we get a little too casual. And I think that's, you know, Christ put that in there. Yes, he's your daddy, but he's also God. Hallowed be thy name. It's a name, that word hallowed means sanctified, set apart. It's a name that's, I don't just call anybody God. There's only one God. And he's holy. And he's just. And praise him that he's also merciful and forgiving and all those things. And we need to remember that. Remember the Father's person. Who he is in all his aspects, not just one aspect of it. That's where a lot of places, a lot of teaching, a lot of preachers preach all this. It's all love and grace and praise the Lord. Praise him for his love and his grace and his mercy. But that's not the only facets of his nature. He's holy and just. And sin must be dealt with because he is holy and just. And we cannot take him too lightly. He deserves our respect and our reverence and our obedience as well. So, the Father's person in verse 9. Verse 10, we see the Father's purpose. Purpose. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, a lot of times in our prayer life, it's my will. You know, I make a decision over here. Maybe this is God's will right in the center here, right at the foot of the cross. I'm in God's will. But now, you know, this is something I want to do. So I come over here and then what do? I pray, because that's a Christian thing to do. Right? Lord, let me do this, blah, 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 blah. And I'm not even seeking his will in that. Have you ever made a decision and then asked God to bless it? I bet every one of you have. At some time or another, you made a decision on your own, your idea. You didn't even consult him. And then after you're in it and you can't get out, God, please bless this. I'm scared. Well, and he's probably up there going, yeah, you ought to be scared. It's not what I wanted. His purpose. He says what? Your kingdom come. Your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Now, you can look around this world and you know his will's not being done. I mean, come on, really? But he says, pray for that. Pray that his will would be done. And you know, one day it will. We read about in Revelation, right? The millennium's coming. And when the millennium's here, Jesus is going to reign over the earth, and you better believe his will is going to be done over the whole earth. And then after that, the new heaven, new earth. And those of us that are with him, you know, we will rule and reign with Christ. But it's all going to be perfect. His will be perfectly done at that time. But until then, we need to be praying, your will be done, Lord. Because, you know, and it says on earth, I can't even hardly get his will done in my life. Just me. Because of my sin nature. My wanting to do things my way. You know, his will be done in my life. Let's just start small, work from there, you know. God's purposes are to be our purposes. That's what it is. It's just all this verse is saying is line up with the Father. Just move into his line, you know, what he's trying to do. Then we see the Father's provision in verse 11. I find this very interesting. Give us this day our daily bread. And the reason I find this interesting is this is the shortest request in the whole thing. But in our prayer life, is it the shortest? Do all these other requests radically overshadow our personal requests? Or is it the other way around? I don't know about you, but I spend a lot of time asking for health and, you know, the things I've got going on in my life, all the stuff going on, relationships, provision, you know, all these things, material things, you know, the stuff we say we need. You know, and all this, you know, we say, oh God, you're holy. Now heal me, Lord, you know, my back, my, you know, whatever's going on. Do these things. And we have this long list and help cousin so-and-so and help mom and dad and help our kids and all these requests and all these requests. And then we spiritualize it in the name of Jesus. Amen. And man, I got to go to work, you know, or whatever. But this is all he says. He says, when you pray, just give me the wherewithal to get through today. Just get me through today. Whether it be the food I eat or my health, whatever. Get me through today. And he ends it. I mean, that's the whole of verse 11. That's it. It is a very minor part of this pattern. It's not 90% of it. In fact, how many points do I have here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Because a ninth one isn't a point. It's a repeat. But there's 8 different things to pray for or pray about or be in prayer, you know, to God about. And this is just 1/8 of it. But I wonder, do my needs consume more than 1/8 of my prayer with God every day? Something to think about. This is a challenging passage. So we see this provision. It's in this model, we have a mention of our physical and material needs. And we do have needs, and God is aware of them. In fact, we'll see later in this chapter where Jesus says, yeah, your Father knows you need these things. You know, he talks about the lilies of the field. They're, you know, arrayed. You know, Solomon wasn't dressed better than them. How much more your Heavenly Father provide for these things? You know, he mentions that later. But the point being, we tend to put our needs, you know, we got a little bit about God at the beginning, a whole bunch of our needs, and a little bit about God at the end, you know. But I don't see that here in this pattern that we have. But he is our provider God. Jehovah Jireh, I believe, is the provider God, Jireh. And he is. And we should call on him. But that should not be the bulk of everything. There's much more, as we see. We need to praise His purpose, His person, and seek His purpose in our life as well as His provision. And then here's a big one, verse 12, the Father's pardon. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Some say, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Forgive us our sins. There's different, all conveying the same basic idea. But you need to understand this here. You need to understand this. Very important. This is not the plea of a sinner who needs forgiveness. This is not a prayer of salvation. This is not asking for... This is, you're praying to your Father. If God's your Father, you're already saved, folks. You're not asking Him to save you. You're asking Him to forgive you for something you've done since you've been saved. Because guess what? We keep sinning, don't we? Every one of us. We say the wrong thing, do the wrong thing, you know, and then sometimes we go home and we're like, why did I do that? You know, I know better than that, but we do it. We have flesh. We give in sometimes to it. And then you go to God and you ask Him to forgive you. And if you're sincere, He does. He forgives you. And it says, as we forgive those that have sinned against us. His pardon. This is not the plea of a sinner who needs forgiveness. This is the plea of a child who has disappointed his father with a wrong attitude, word, or deed. And he needs parental forgiveness. You ever have that? You know, those of you that have had kids, and all of you were a kid, okay? So there was that time when you did something wrong, and there's this wall that goes up. You know, but, you know, that's still my mom and dad. Still my mom and dad. But because I violated something, there's now this wall. And until you say, please forgive me, until you say, hey, I messed up, then there's this wall is going to be there with your kids, with you and your parents, with you and your children. And guess what? With you and your Father that's in heaven as well. Now, we don't cease. We don't lose our salvation. We're still His children. He's still our dad. But we can't have the relationship, you know, that closeness. We can't have the fellowship is really a better word. Because the relationship's still there, your father and child. But the fellowship, you're just not as close. You can't enjoy one another's company because there's this thing going on between you that needs to be taken care of. And guess what, folks? The bad news is God never sins, so it's your fault. It's not His. You know, sometimes sometimes the parents do make a bad move with their kids, and it is their fault. And maybe they have to apologize to their kids. But you know, with God, it's never that way. You know, it's always, if there's forgiveness needed, I need His. He never needs mine. The Father's pardon. How can we, in good conscience, ask God for forgiveness if we do not forgive others? Think about that. Look what he says. Forgive us as we forgive those that have wronged us. You know, Peter says it in when he's talking about marriage. He says, husbands and wives, you know, you need to have it right between each other. Otherwise, your prayers are going to be hindered. You got to make it right. You know, if you got something going on, you know, husband and wife, sometimes we do this. You know, we don't like to admit it, but, you know, sometimes we have disagreements. And when you fail to make that right, the Bible says you're hindering your relationship with your Heavenly Father as well. The Father's pardon. Now, I made a statement, I think, 2 weeks ago. I said, I'm going to prove to you that Jesus could not pray. This was not a prayer He was praying. This is an example He was teaching us because we needed it. Did Jesus ever ask for forgiveness for His sin? No. Hello, no. He was perfect, right? He was sinless. He was sinless. He never sinned. That's the only reason He could be what He was, the Savior. because he was sinless, he was the only acceptable sacrifice for God to pay the price for our sins. He could not pray this. He was teaching those sinner guys that he was teaching, all these people that were around him, plus his disciples. He was teaching them, you need to ask the Father for forgiveness. He didn't need to. This is not a prayer. This is a session. He's teaching them about prayer because he never had to pray this prayer. He did pray to the Father often, but he never asked for forgiveness. And he never had to ask a person for forgiveness either. He never wronged anybody that he dealt with either, as we have from time to time. So the Father's pardon. Now we come to verse 13. As you see, we got four parts in this. First part, pray about the Father's path. It says, this is interesting. This is an interesting verse. And lead us not into temptation. Wait a minute. God's going to lead me into temptation? Doesn't that contradict Scripture? Lead us not into temptation. Was not Jesus led into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit to face the devil for 40 days and was tempted of him? He sure was. Now, did God tempt Jesus? No. The devil did. Satan did. Look at the verse, James 1:13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and neither tempts he any man. Now, Satan is used of God many times. But God himself, you may say you're splitting hairs. No, I'm not. Satan tempts, God doesn't tempt. But God does allow us to be tempted, because you know what? That's how we find out. In my particular situation with weight, how do I know I've conquered Snicker bars until I put one in front of me and I'm able to walk away from it without eating it? I mean, seriously, as long as they're not there, I got no problem. But, you know, let my dear mother-in-law put a bowl of them out on the table, you temptress you. And she's sitting back there. But, you know, it's tempting. They're there. You know, and a lot of times we think we've got something figured out in our life, but really we don't. It's just that we've not been placed in a position where we are tested. And the testing is not... You know, I've heard people say this, well, God's just trying to find out where I'm at. No, God knows where you're at. You are the one that is deceived. You think you got it figured out, but when that bowl of Snickers is there, that's when I find out. Snickers or peanut M&Ms or pizza. That's how you find out, though. That's how you grow. You get tested. You get put through the fire. And when you come out the other side, you're stronger. Because God's trying to grow us. And so He allows us to be tempted, but He does not tempt. There's no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you or allow you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Okay, a lot of people have totally taken this verse out of context. They will use this verse to say, God will never give me anything that I can't handle. That is not true. That's not what that verse says. I've heard people say it over and over again. God will never let anything happen to me I can't handle. Well, let me flip it around. If you can handle every single thing, why do you need God? If you can handle every issue that life can dish out, what do you need God for? You can handle it. I don't know about you, but I've been in places all I had was God. Because I couldn't handle it. And in fact, Paul writes in another place, we were so overwhelmed that we even despaired of life itself. Paul. Now, who's got more faith than Paul? I mean, and he was so overwhelmed, he despaired of life. He was overwhelmed. You know what? Sometimes we get overwhelmed by what's going on in our life. And that's why it's good to have a God that is never overwhelmed, that you can run to. You know, as a child, you run to your father because you're overwhelmed by the situation. But you know what? Your father is able to handle it. Temptation is a whole different thing. He says he's not going to allow you to be tempted above that which you are able to handle. And if you can't handle it, he'll give you a way out. You know, if I can't handle the Snicker bar, turn around, walk out of the room. That's the way out. You know, whatever your Snicker bar is, whatever that is in your life that you find yourself falling to, there is a way out. The Bible says so. The reason I take the Snicker bar is because I want to. It's not because I had to. I had a way out. But sometimes I just want one. And I'm going to probably want one of those pizzas there this afternoon. And I may eat a piece or two. Because I want to. But we gotta learn to separate, you know, all the stuff, you know. This ain't Flip Wilson, you know. The devil doesn't make you do it. You do it because you want to. And some people probably don't know who Flip Wilson is. But anyway, those of you that do, you know what I'm talking about. Just thought of that, kind of dating myself here. Dating a lot of you, too, that laughed. Anyway. But all that to say, temptation's part of life, folks, because we have an evil one that wants us to fall. But praise the Lord, you know, God, He provides a way out of temptation. He does not tempt, but He realizes that we are going to be tempted. And Jesus said, pray that you won't be led into temptation. Because you know what? Sometimes God allows us to be tempted so that we can find out who we are and what we are and how strong we are, because sometimes we think we're stronger than we are. And don't ask me to repeat that. Came out once. The path. But you know what's cool? If you do get in too deep, God is able to rescue you. Look at 2 Peter chapter 2. The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust to the day of judgment to be punished. You know, sometimes we do get ourselves in a position. But you know what? God knows how to deliver us. Trust in your Father. He knows. Now, He may let you wallow in it a bit to teach you a lesson, but He knows how to get you out of it, too. And when you've learned the lesson, a lot of times that's when you get out of it. You learn the lesson. And you become stronger and better. And you become more like Jesus. Essentially, that's what it's talking about here. But He knows how to deliver the godly. You know, a lot of times when I give in to stuff, I'm not being godly. Just be honest. You ever get in that position where you're going to tell somebody just what you think they need to hear? And you do it? And that may not have been godly, what you told them. But if you're tempted to do that, but you think about it, you know, God can deliver you. And you know what? Maybe some things are just better left unsaid. But those that are unjust, those, they are reserved. They've got another day. We've got a reservation in the heavenly kingdom, but there are others that don't. That's why we need to share the gospel. All right. The Father's path. Pray about that. You know, we don't want to be tempted. But it's comforting to know that if we are, God provides a way out and He can actually deliver us from it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Final sentence on that. God tests us for growth. Satan tempts us for harm. When Satan tempts you, it's to harm you. It's to bring you down. It's to destroy you, folks. I mean, I've been kind of pulling punches. He wants to kill you. You understand that? He wants to destroy you. He hates you. You bear the image of God. Men and women, boys and girls, we all bear the image of God, and He wants to destroy us. And we got to take Him very seriously. But when God tests us, it's for our growth. Satan tempts us to destroy us. And you always got to remember that, folks. So when you see the temptation, you know, sometimes temptation is, quote unquote, a little harmless. You know, if I fudge a Snicker bar, that's not going to greatly alter the world, you know, in any way. But, you know, Satan doesn't just tempt you with little things. He wants to go for the jugular. And he tempts you with things that will destroy you. And we need to be wise to that. So we see we need to pray about the Father's path for us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. I was just talking about evil. Pray for the Father's protection. Deliver us from evil. And I just talked about it. We have an adversary. Let me give you the verse. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you. Do you understand? Satan desires to have you too. This just wasn't for Peter. And he wants to sift you as wheat. What does that mean? Wheat, back in those days when they would harvest wheat, it was full of other stuff you did not want to eat. And so they would sift it. And they'd get the impurities, the things that weren't supposed to be there, the bugs and all the other stuff out. And you know what? Satan wants to sift you and me. Because you know what? We all got impurities in us, don't we? We all got things that shouldn't be there. And he wants to sift us. He wants to bring those impurities to the surface so they can destroy us. That he may sift you as wheat. But isn't this comforting? Verse 32, but I, Jesus, have prayed for you that your faith would fail not. And that when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. Isn't it comforting to know that, you know, when we're entering into temptation, when we're entering, you know, into a battle with Satan or with one of his demons or even with our own flesh? You know, every time I want a Snicker bar, that's not necessarily Satan. That's just my flesh. You know, you battle your flesh too. But you know what? When we're placed in those situations or when we place ourselves in those situations, you understand Jesus praying for you that your faith would not fail. And then you know what? When you get through it, use your experience to help someone else. Because you know what? You're not the only one. I know it seems like it sometimes. I'm the only one going through this. I'm the only one that has this problem. But you know what's funny? when you let some people know that you've been battling something, a lot of people will come up and go, you know what, I had that battle too, and here's what I did. Here's how God got me through that. And we help one another. We share what God has done. And we're mandated to do that. It wasn't like, please. He says, and when you do it, strengthen them. Do it. Help one another. Father's protection, because we have an adversary. And we are no match for him apart from God, folks. You know, if you're trying to stand up to Satan in your own strength, you're going to lose. But if you're working with the Father, you're good. You're all right. And then we see the Father's power. He says, deliver us from... lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. At the close of the prayer, he's wrapping this up, we are reminded of God's omnipotence. He's all-powerful. It's about his kingdom, his power, his glory. Satan is causing problems. We know that. But he is no match for God. God is all-powerful. Satan is not. God is everywhere. Satan is not. You know, we give Satan sometimes too much credit, like he's everywhere. He's not. He's a finite being. He can't be everywhere at once. God can. God is omnipresent. Satan can only be in one place. That's why he needs all those fallen angels with him to help him out, because he can't be everywhere. But it's the Father's power. You know, what does the Bible say? Apart from God, you can do nothing. His power, his provision, his person, his protection, all those things. Father's power. Then we see the last word of what we call the Lord's Prayer. Amen. Amen. Forever. Amen. Forever. Amen. We see the Father's permanence. It's forever. It's forever. You know, God is eternal. He's always been, always is, always will be. Now, we have a beginning. Now, we are everlasting in that once we came into existence, we last forever. We have a soul and a spirit, you know, that will live forever, just either in heaven or hell, but you're going to live forever. But God had no beginning. He's permanent. He's always been, always will be. Satan and this world is temporary. You know, Satan's influence on this world and on you and me is temporary. One day, God's going to deal with Satan. Satan's going to be tossed in the lake of fire. That's going to be the end of him. He's going to be there forever, but he won't be bugging us. And all those angels will be there with him. All those demons, they will be there with him. And unfortunately, a lot of people will be there too. The ones that don't know Jesus, because they rejected him. But they will no longer be influencing us. Praise the Lord. Won't that be good? And it's permanent. Forever. Then he says, amen. So be it. All that means is, you know, you go to the Lord and you pour yourself out before him. And then when you've emptied yourself, then you just say, so be it. According to your will, Lord. Whatever, you know, if you're going to add something to me, add it. If you're going to take from me, take it. Let it all be your will in my life. That's what that's saying. Lord, I accept whatever it is. I accept what your will is for me. I accept it. And I pray that I'm able to glorify you through whatever it is. Then lastly, we have verses 14 and 15. And we see the Father's priority. Isn't it interesting? He goes through this model prayer, this pattern, if you will. And there's all these different things, eight things to talk about. And he only repeats one. And that's the one about forgiveness. Remember verse 12, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And then, so he does this thing out, and then he tags this on there. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. If you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. The Father's priority, folks, is forgiveness. You know, he gave us all these things to pray about. But think about it. Doesn't it make sense? Because why did Jesus come and die on the cross? So that we could have forgiveness. It's the only way it could happen. It's the only way we could be pardoned. It's the only way. And so he repeats it, and not only does he revisit it, he revisits it in both the positive and the negative, so that there is no way you can misunderstand this. He says it both ways. If you forgive others, God will forgive you. If you don't forgive others, in case you didn't understand that part, God won't forgive you. You know, lawyers always look for loopholes. God did not leave a loophole in this. Made it very clear. The way you treat others directly affects how God will treat you, to the positive or the negative. Jesus came that we might have forgiveness. We must be like-minded. You know, forgiveness is important. You know, the Bible says, be not bitter. Put away all bitterness and malice and wrath away from you. Put it all away. That's important. You know why? Because as long as you harbor bitterness towards someone, you're breaking your relationship with your Heavenly Father. You're causing problems. You're putting a wall up. God can't use you. But you don't understand. This person really did me wrong. Did you have to hang on the cross? You know, the things that I did in my life forced Jesus to the cross. And he forgave me. How can I not forgive someone else? Well, I can answer that because I'm selfish, because I have a sin nature, because I don't want to let someone off the hook, so to speak. But what we fail to realize is when we don't let someone else off the hook, that puts us on the hook with them. And you're cutting yourself off from the best help you have, which is our Heavenly Father. The Lord's Prayer, quotation marks, was never intended to be a prayer. It was a pattern. It was an outline for us to use. We are to fill in the meat according to where we're at. You know, where are you spiritually? Where are you materially? Where are you socially? Where are you emotionally? Where are you physically? In those areas, you know, prayer is our means of conveying what's going on inside us to our Father, our Heavenly Father. Prayer done right is hard work. I mean, remember Jesus praying? He was sweating drops of blood. He was so fervent. You know, I'm sure he just didn't sit down and go, you know, Lord, help me out here. Amen. And then went his way. He went back and prayed the same prayer three times. And he was so caught up into it, he was sweating blood. And I got to say, I've never sweated blood. And it takes time. How many times is our prayer wedged in between breakfast and going to work or something? Oh, here's a little slot. What's our priorities? Ideally, it should not be rushed or shallow. Now, there is a place, you know, if you see a car coming at you, you know, there's a place for, help me, Lord. You know, there's a place for that. But if it's, help me, Lord, every morning, and that's the extent of your prayer life, you're missing out. Should not be rushed or shallow. You know, sometimes we pray for shallow stuff. I've had people come up to me and say, you know, I'm going out looking for a car, and I prayed to God. I said, God, if it's your will, you know, let that financing go through. Are you kidding me? If you're breathing, you'll get financed. Think about it. I mean, if you got any income at all, I saw a sign on the freeway. You know, if you're getting like $800 a month, we'll get you in a car. Are you kidding me? How do you live on $800 a month? And yet they can put me in a car? Should not be shallow. You know, we need to be praying about it. I mean, you know, if you need a car, then you need to pray and ask God to lead you in the right way. And, you know, that, I mean, I'm not making light of that. But what I'm saying is there's a whole lot of stuff other than a car that you can be praying about too. How many lost people do you know? How many sick people do you know? How many hurting people do you know? There's a lot of things to pray for, folks. Prayer is our means of communication with our Heavenly Father. And it's essential to our relationship with Him. For the true follower of Christ, prayer is everything. So let's pray effectively by praying as Jesus showed us. I mean, He showed us how. Gave us principles to follow. Gave us kind of an outline that we can fill in with, because all of us are unique and we got unique things, different situations in all of our lives. If you feel like your prayers have no power, how does your prayer life line up with what Jesus showed us in this passage? How's your way been working for you? If it's not been working for you, maybe you need to try God's way. I've learned over years, God's ways work. My ways, highly suspect. Highly suspect. There may be someone here today that you need to pray the most important prayer there is. The one that God always is listening for and He's always willing to answer. And that's the one where you say, Father, I need You. I'm on my way to hell. I realize that. I've never accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I've never admitted to You, Lord, that I'm a sinner and I need You. And would You please forgive me? That's the prayer you might need to pray. There might be someone here, somebody watching on the feed. You may need that. You may need to pray that prayer. That is the most important prayer you'll ever pray, because it, what you do with that is your whole eternity rides on that. There may be someone that needs to make that decision. For the rest of us, maybe there's someone here today. Maybe you need to change some things. How much time do you spend? How regular? I mean, forget the time. You know, for some of us, maybe a minute a day would be an increase. You know, start somewhere. Maybe more effort. Maybe it needs to be a greater priority in our life. Maybe we need to pray with maybe a little more purpose in our prayers. Something to think about. I mean, I talked about a lot of things in here. What's the area that God brought to your mind when I said it rang the bell for you? Just take that one thing. Maybe he rang the bell five times. Take one. Take one and say, Lord, you know, how's this for a prayer? Lord, I want to grow. Which one of these things? You brought these things to mind. Which one do you want me to work on first? And you know what? He'll bring that to your mind. And then you know what? Do it. Just make a decision and just say, okay, Lord, I'm going to try and do this 1 minute a day. Start with 1 minute. You know what I found? When I commit some time, all of a sudden I'll look up and it's been more time, way more time. And I don't feel like I was cheated or robbed or anything. It was a good investment of my time. What's God telling you right now? Now's the time to communicate with Him about it. If we can have every eye closed, every head bowed, I just want to give people privacy to make decisions. Is there anybody here today who would say, Brother Mike, I need to pray that number one prayer, the one where I ask the Lord to save me. Anybody like that? I've never done that. I need to do that. And I feel the unction, but I'm a little scared maybe or something. And I just like you to pray for me that I would follow through with that. Anybody like that? Anybody? For the rest of us, how many would say, Brother Mike, Lord's kind of impressed upon me. I need to spend a little more time. I need to spend more time. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. How many would say, I need to put a little more effort into it? I've kind of gotten into a habit. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. I see those hands. Amen. How many would say, Brother Mike, Lord has kind of burdened me. I need to make prayer more of a priority in my life. Amen. God bless you. How many would say, the Lord, I need to pray with purpose. My prayers have become kind of repetitious, and I need to have greater purpose in my prayers. Amen. God bless you all. God bless you. Oh, Lord God, as we come before you in prayer, I pray for these. You've moved on their hearts. And Lord God, I pray you would give them light as to how to do what you've asked them to do. And Lord, I pray that they would have courage and they would have the determination to please you in this area. Whatever it is you have brought to their attention, Lord, I pray that they would also have determination to please you in what you have brought to their minds. And I ask you to do this in Jesus' name. Amen. This is your time as the music plays. God has done something. He's brought something to your mind. You need to communicate with Him about it right now. This is your opportunity. I want to give you that chance right now. Father, Lord God, I come before you and just, Lord, I just want to say thank you for the gift of prayer. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of prayer. Thank you, Lord, that we can come to you, Father, as a small child and just come to you with anything and everything. Father, help us to draw closer to you through prayer, our prayers, Lord. And Lord, help us to be forgiving and Lord, help us to really realize how important it is to forgive one another, that you would forgive us, that we could be closer, that we could be more like Jesus. And it's in His name we pray. Amen.